if you were listening to our coverage of the interest rate cut last night, you might remember my suggestion to just hold back on the champagne for a moment. Well, today the national accounts, the latest GDP figures are out. And can I suggest perhaps something just a tad stronger maybe? The economic growth for the first 3 months of the year came in at 0.4%. Year-on-year growth, 1.8%. It's the weakest result since 2009, in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. Now, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg today, and who can blame him, trying to put out a positive spin on things.
This is within the range of market expectations. The economy continues to grow in the face of significant international and domestic headwinds. However, growth is softer than it was at the same time last year.
Nikki Hutley is a partner at Deloitte Access Economics. Nikki, welcome.
Thank you.
A result within the range of expectations?
Well, that's true, but, you know, that doesn't make it a good result, does it? No, I mean, within the range of expectations, because we get in the lead up to the national accounts being released, we get lots of the what we call the partial indicators. So we have indicators for investment, for consumer demand, and, you know, for exports. And so we put those pieces together. So by the time the GDP number comes out, we've got a fair idea usually of where it's going to be. And you've got to remember already, it's now, what, the 5th of June. And mm-hmm. this is for the first 3 months of the year. So the 3 months to the, you know, 31st of March. So we're looking backwards quite a way.
And I guess, you know, within the range of expectations doesn't necessarily imply a positive outcome.
No, it certainly doesn't. And, you know, the fact that we've got an annual rate of GDP growth with a one in front of it now, albeit at, you know, the higher end of the ones, is not good news. And you know, it is, as you pointed out, you know, the slowest rate in nearly 10 years. And there are a lot of things that are happening behind that. Mm. But at the same time, I'm much like the governor of the Reserve Bank. I'm a glass half full sort of person. So I would point to some positives that are coming in the second half of the year that will help.
Well, let's get to those. But before that, I mean, that sort of growth figure, we're looking at 1.8%. I mean, are there a number of sort of baked-in factors like population growth, for example, that will give an economy a certain amount of momentum?
Oh, absolutely. So there's what we call the theory of the three Ps. And so obviously, the more people you have, the more services they demand, the more jobs that creates, and that will just drive growth in and of itself. So population is an important point. But if you actually also increase the participation of the population in mm-hmm. the workforce, so more people having jobs, again, that adds to growth. And the final of the piece is productivity. And unfortunately, that's something that's not working in our favour at the moment. We're doing a bit poorly on that front. But yes, population alone can drive the overall level of growth. But what we've heard a lot of people talking about in more recent quarters is the output or productivity output per person. So we're talking about GDP per capita, and that in fact has been pretty stagnant, in fact going back a little bit. So because of that softer productivity. So if we want to actually improve our standard of living, which is, you know, looking at output per person, not just the total output of the economy, that's kind of one of the things we need to be looking at.
Work harder, is that what you're saying?
Oh, gosh, I think people are working pretty hard these days. I know the old adage, work smarter, not harder, but I think we're doing that as well.
We had a rate cut yesterday, of course, and the Reserve is, well, it has limited parameters for action with an interest rate, cash rate of 1.25%. Are we seeing here the exhaustion of the possibilities of monetary policy and on the other side of that coin, putting a greater emphasis on what the government does in all sorts of policy measures?
Well, I certainly think that's the case. I mean, technically, you know, we could have another 0.25% cuts to get down to zero if we felt that that was right. But what we saw in the US and in Europe, you know, post-GFC was that you know, rates were cut down to zero and, in fact, in some places were negative. And that really wasn't the thing that stimulated the economy. Now, of course, they were facing much bigger shocks than we're facing at the moment. But there's a view that once you start to get down to these levels, monetary policy is not going to do that much. And part of that is because, you know, if you have a 25 basis point cut, the amount of extra money that it puts in your pocket on a $400,000 mortgage doesn't change whether you're going from 4% to 3.25% or whether you're going from 1.5% to 1.25% on your interest rate. Mm. But what changes is that dollar amount in your pocket. If you've got an extra, couple of dollars a week, when the economy is still doing well, and you might be cutting interest rates as the economy is starting to slow, people go, oh, a bit of extra money, yes, that's good. But if you're starting to cut because the economy is much slower than you thought and you're getting down to those really low interest rates, people are much more cautious, and the impact of that monetary stimulus is less obvious in the economy. But it also works through other ways, of course, like lowering the Aussie dollar, and that's been a significant thing for us. And the Reserve Bank thinks the Aussie dollar at the moment is about 10% overvalued. So we'd like to see some more rate cuts to help soften that Aussie dollar value even more.
Of course, the dollar perked up a little bit on the GDP numbers today, so that's hardly fair.
I think there's a whole load of things that are driving that one way or another. And unfortunately, one of the benefits, economics is always one of these things, is on the one hand and on the other hand, and I know it annoys the average person in the street, but, if we get higher iron ore prices, because China's actually building more steel, and we get much higher, then the terms of trade improve. Unfortunately, that bolsters our Australian dollar as well. So we've got things that are happening that are on the one side positive, but then other things that take away a little bit. But getting back to your earlier question about fiscal versus monetary policy, so, can the government do things with its budget policy if we're running out of firepower on monetary policy? The answer is absolutely yes, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a bit more optimistic for the second half of the year, because we
post-tax
do have
cut.
Tax yep. cuts.
Yep.
And so, you've got the strength of the tax cuts, also the fact that we are seeing the falls in house prices are starting to lose a bit of momentum to possibly bottom out. We're seeing better auction clearance rates, that sort of thing. The forward-looking estimates for investment intentions are looking a bit better. The government's spending its money. Exports are looking quite positive. So if we can just get consumers to be a little bit more positive, and that's where those tax cuts will play a really big role.
There's a possibility around those tax cuts of some tough politics being played around them. I mean, what's the potential if those cuts are delayed of injuring our prospects for growth?
Well, there's a very strong possibility, and we've already got the first tranche has been legislated, so that's the good news. We've got $570 coming through to households. It's the second part from this year's budget that hasn't come through, and I think to really stimulate the economy, you really want to see the full amount. At the moment, we're getting sort of the equivalent of what would be another quarter of percent point off interest rates. It's like having another interest rate cut, and it's probably more effective to do it as a tax cut. But we need that second half to get that extra woomph into the economy. You could argue that we possibly need to go even further. I mean, you'd be aware of the modelling that Deloitte Access Economics has done around New Start, for example, which if you were to increase that rate, that goes straight through into lowest income earners' bottom line, and it gets spent straight away, so it's quite stimulatory. So there are things up the government's sleeve still to do, if it becomes necessary.
I'm sure their attention has been focused, Nikki, by these numbers today. Thank you so much for your explanations.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Nikki Hutley, partner at Deloitte Access Economics.